Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we have two candles lit. The first candle is a candle of hope. The second one is known as the Bethlehem candle, the candle of preparation, candle of faith. So take your pick on that, because if you were to look it up, you would find one of those three that I talked about would be the second candle. Or you can just combine them like I did. I like that better. All right, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God has given His Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine that we may be heard.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning,
is now and will be forever. Amen.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the second Sunday in Advent, is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice and strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your God, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from 2 Peter, beginning with chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, that what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since we are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again from to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. He will come again to glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. St. Peter writes, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God?" So we are in Advent, and it's always good to look back at that first coming of our Lord. It's good to look back at the prophets and see what they had to say, not only concerning that first Advent, but also when He returns again, when He brings all of history to a culmination and all of His promises, which have been already fulfilled in Christ, but we'll see their consummation with the return of Jesus and all of us being raised to life. And we will dwell with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. And that will be an eternal home. We heard in the Old Testament the prophet being told to comfort the people of God. I think sometimes we need also to hear words of comfort. It's hard to know what the next 4 years with a new president in office, what that's going to be like. We can conjecture, we can wring our hands, or we can say what a wonderful person the new president will be. We don't know these things, for these things are not in our hands. And yet our nation is still divided. Our nation is still in anxiousness over the things that have taken place that led up to this election. Our nation is anxious and fearful. There is fear on both sides. There is fear among all of God's people even. And yet it ought not be that way. And it is a time, I guess, we do need to hear Isaiah's words that are spoken to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Judah. "Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended." Of course, Jerusalem was in captivity. Israel was in captivity. But that is coming to a close. That is coming to an end. The warfare isn't with flesh and blood, though. The warfare has been between Israel's faithfulness to God, or lack of. However, God's faithfulness remains firm. We are told that heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word remains. For God's word is that foundation we can put our feet upon and stand firmly and be comforted. Because God's word is a word of comfort in every age. There is not a time in history that word of God has not comforted millions of God's people. It is a word that reminds us of our life in Him. We have nothing to really be afraid of. And worrying about tomorrow does us no good, for the one whom Isaiah speaks of is coming. He has come. But when Isaiah speaks of Him, we're looking towards that first Advent, aren't we? We're looking for that day when John will cry in the wilderness to all of Israel to come out and repent and be baptized. In other words, make your ways straight before the Lord. Turn back to God. But Jesus says important words to those who come to listen to Him as He proclaims God's day of salvation, that the kingdom of God is present in their midst. And it was, because Jesus stood in their presence. Wherever the Lord is, there is the kingdom of God. Wherever His word is proclaimed, there is the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't change what's going to happen. Worry about today. St. Peter says, as we await for that day that'll come like a thief in the night, what kind of Christian, what kind of disciple of Jesus, what kind of people ought we to be in righteousness? What kind of people are we to be? How are we to live our lives in holiness and godliness? There again, the Word of God stands firm. We don't have to go and ask anyone that. Really, all we need to do is open the Scriptures, pray to God, and He will show us in His own words what He means when He says to have godly lives, to live in peace. Well, of course, it begins with an understanding that this world is temporal and that this world will fade away or melt away, as it is described here today. We know that our Lord will return, and we wait patiently for that day, though sometimes I guess we are anxious for that day, depending where we are in life. Maybe we are tired and just want Christ to finally come back and put an end to all of this nonsense, all of this hardness, all of this fear. In some ways, we could say He already did that when He went to the cross. Put away all of the nonsense. Put away all of the fear. Put away all those things. Our warfare has ended with God because of Jesus. Because just like Jerusalem was at odds because of their faithlessness to God, so too we might say of ourselves. We have not always been faithful. At least sometimes we don't act like it, but maybe in the heart we are. Because we know where our life is connected, and it is connected with Jesus. We understand that. But sometimes the things around us get us so anxious, so fearful, that it clouds out that memory or that vision of peace that we have with God. Our warfare has ended because Jesus carried God's wrath. He took it on Himself for us. He carried our sins, but the wrath of God didn't fall on us. It fell on Him, the one who brings peace, the one who brings comfort to the people. Yes, John called out in the wilderness, make ready for this day. But Jesus preached peace. That was His word of comfort to the people of Israel. Peace. He loved saying that word, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Peace. Peace. Look what He has done for us. Look how He burst onto the scene. Just one day, suddenly, there's this carpenter proclaiming the day of the Lord. And what a powerful word He spoke, that it drew people to hear Him and for some to say, we want to follow You, or to hear the call, follow Me, and to give up all that they had in this world to follow him because they believed him to be from God. They would learn that he was more than just from God, like a prophet, but he was God, the very Son of God, who was born on that one night 30 years before in a stable. This is our Savior. And he comes again. He comes to us today. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us in the sacrament of the altar. He comes to us and he enters our hearts and gives us our hope. He sustains us no matter what we have going on in our lives. No matter what we may try and figure out will the future be like, he will say to us, don't worry about that. Peter has told us what the future holds. A day when the Lord returns. A day when the heavens will be shaken, when the stars themselves will melt, when this world itself will dissolve. But we will be with the Lord. That's the future. A new heaven and a new earth. That's our future. So why worry about the things of this world? Let us do as St. Peter says and do our best to live lives of holiness. Lives of holiness that are worthy of the praise of God. St. Peter says, what kind of lives ought we to have as we live this way? Near the end, he answers that question. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, our future, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. To be without spot or blemish and at peace. St. Peter is talking about our faith. Our faith is a precious gift from our Father. It is that which helps us and sustains us. It is that which brings us into his kingdom. We are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. And it is important that we be in God's word, which stands forever. It does not change. People change. Their mores may change. But God's word is that word which we need that keeps us anchored. In a world that is constantly changing, our technology constantly changing, people's attitudes constantly changing, people looking this way and that way for something that will give them a foundation in life. But all of those foundations, as the Scripture has told us, is but sand. No, the foundation that Jesus gives is himself. He is the rock. He is the rock. Live by faith, St. Peter is saying. Live by faith. Go to the source for your strength. So that on that day you are standing before the Lord without spot or blemish and at peace. How do we do that? We do it when we come to hear his word in this place or other churches where God's word is proclaimed. It is done when we gather around the altar to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in this place. Or in other churches that also do the same, celebrating and giving thanks to God for this gift of his Son, his body and blood. How do we remain without spot and blemish and at peace is to hear his word and not despise it, but to gather regularly to hear his word. To begin our day, even to end our day, reading His Word and meditating on it and remembering His love for us. Now, these aren't works that give us salvation, because we know we have that because of this grace of God that we have received through faith. But it helps our faith. It strengthens our faith, which makes us strong in faith, so that we can stand and not be shaken by turmoil or anxiety over what tomorrow may hold, but to know that all things are in the hands of God, who sees all things and is always active in the world, whether we see Him or not. He is involved in our lives. He loves us. He cares for us. He is, we are reminded by Isaiah, like the shepherd who carries the sheep in his arms, close to his bosom. That kind of care is what we have from our Lord. It is a wonderful picture of His love. I know you've all seen the painting, perhaps, of Jesus with sheep around His feet and Him holding a little lamb in His arm. And I think we could probably all see ourselves as that lamb He's holding. And it would be right to do so. But let's also keep in mind that we are also the sheep at His feet following Him. And the lamb was that one sheep that was lost, whom He found and is now bringing into His flock. There are many who are lambs that need the good shepherd in their lives. We can be the sheep, knowing that when our shepherd is out there gathering those lost sheep, He has not forgotten us. Indeed, He invites us to also come with Him and help gather those sheep. Our Lord loves us so much that He died for us. Our Lord loves us so much that we are justified in His death from our sin. He loves us so much, and we know it because Jesus was raised to life. We know it because when Jesus departed and the disciples were watching Him ascend into heaven, the angels said, "He will return as you have seen Him leave." There we hear the promise of God. We know He will never separate Himself from us. And we know this because of Jesus. May God's Holy Spirit keep you in this faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. As you led Joseph like a flock, so now by your Son, lead us into straight paths. Bring us out of the bondage of our sins and plant us securely in your eternal promises. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in your blessed patience, you send your prophets and apostles, pastors and teachers in all times, that sinners would not perish, but rather reach repentance and find comfort in your word, which alone will stand forever. Preserve the servants of your church. Give to our congregation and all congregations an increase of hope, that we may await the revealing of the new heavens and new earth in lives of holiness and godliness, diligent to be found without spot or blemish and at peace. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, preserve your gift of marriage against the ravages of sin, the schisms of the devil, and the raging of the world. Bless the couples and families of our congregations. Strengthen them in love and care for one another, and establish them on the foundation of your word. Lord, in your mercy, God of all comfort, your word alone endures forever. The nations of the world come and go before you. Even kings and rulers are like grass before your breath. Preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men. Give us leaders who will rule after your good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, that we may live in godly quietness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, graciously regard all for whom we pray, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Jeff Schaffner, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tulner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Noth, and Wilfred Defoe, and also Shirley Powers. We pray, Lord, that you would give them those things that are needful to them as you see fit. Lord, in your mercy. Our Heavenly Father, you once prepared the way of your only begotten Son through the preaching and baptism of John. Prepare now your baptized Christians with true repentance and faith that seeks the forgiveness of sins, that they would worthily eat and drink Christ's true body and blood in the blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he also took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Has anyone got an announcement?
We want to wish happy birthday to Cassidy Brzozowski. His birthday is December 11th. And that's it.
All right. The church looks beautiful. And if you please, I encourage you to bring poinsettias. We could fill this place up with poinsettias if we want. Christmas ain't here yet. So that when the doors open on Christmas morning, you come in and it's all these beautiful poinsettias all over the place. Wouldn't that be great? Well, I think it would. I love them. Peggy. Yes. That's why I'm saying bring them so they're gathered in here. And then by Christmas Day,
well,
yeah, that'd be wonderful. And every time you go to the supermarket, pick up one, bring it here.
I have music for Christmas Day. Those of you who will be here that day, please stay. It's easy. I think you know it, but I think it'll be on. So stick around.
Okay. All right.
There's a heater back here, too.
I'm comfortable. I got my long john pants on. All right, let's close with the last hymn, 733.